This is Bill McMinn from Inkable Bible Church, and this is the Way to Go podcast, where we talk about faith, family, and daily life, putting the Bible into practical, everyday terms.
Welcome to the Way to Go podcast. Bill McMinn, Mark Hosteller, and we are here talking about, I'm going to talk about an obscure character. Not totally obscure. I mean, a lot of people have heard his name. Genesis 14 talks about it. Hebrews 7 talks about it. This guy named Melchizedek. So we're going to talk about him a little bit, and just because he was a priest and he blessed, and he'd be somebody like a priest who forgives, who intercedes. And I think that we should be forgiving. We should be interceding. Mm-hmm. There's things we can certainly emulate. But in Genesis 14, 18 through 20, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High. And this is after Abraham's coming back from the great victory against the four kings north,
right?
Chedorlaomer and his allies, and they've been defeating everyone. Abraham went and defeated him. And so he blesses Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies from your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. So Melchizedek's interesting. He's fulfilling two roles, which typically in Old Testament history would never be fulfilled by the same person. He's a priest and a king. They were divided offices in Israel after the days of Moses. And it's then from the day one of ever having a king. No king could ever be a priest.
Yeah.
Saul was the first king. He got in so much trouble for trying to do the priest job that God told him he's going to basically lose his kingdom. And he had really blown it by making a sacrifice that only the priest was supposed to make. So Melchizedek is a king and a priest. So Melchizedek actually is a name, means king of righteousness.
That's right.
Which I think that's interesting because the word Melch there, that would mean king. Mm-hmm. Zedek would be Hebrew for righteousness. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking about his whole character, man. He's righteous.
Yeah.
He's by name, king of righteousness. And he's a foreshadowing of Christ.
That's right.
So in the New Testament, Christ is said to be a priest. Christ is a king and a priest as well. Mm-hmm. And a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a mistake that his name in the Old Testament is King of Righteousness.
I don't either. I don't think so at all. And so the other part of that is he's the king of Salem, which is Jerusalem, they believe. And the type of, the word would then mean peace.
Right.
So he's righteousness and peace.
Right.
And what we find in Christ is that he's righteous and he brings us peace with the Father.
Right.
You know, he's a type of Christ, really, this Melchizedek. Absolutely. He's just, it's such an interesting and unfortunately kind of vague on details of who this guy is. You know, no genealogy in front of him. Like the order is an eternal priesthood, you know, and it's like, it's really strange. You know, later on, I think it's in Second Samuel, we see another priest or king in Jerusalem. It's in Joshua, thank you. It's in Joshua, where his name means the same thing, King of Righteousness.
Right.
Adonai Zedek is what it's called. It's King of Righteousness. And then when David comes in,
Adonai is Lord. So Adonai would probably be Lord of Righteousness.
Yeah,
he was a king, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the king of Jerusalem, and his name means King of Righteousness. Right. So then you get David coming into Jerusalem, and you see in Psalm, you got it right here, in Psalm 110, you see this Davidic kingdom being set up in the order of Melchizedek.
Right.
You know, and you see David, you mentioned King Saul. This has always been fascinating to me. King Saul, right before David, gets in trouble by Samuel for doing this priestly duty thing. And you see David and his sons doing priestly duties.
Which ones?
It says right in 2 Samuel, it says that 2 Samuel 8:18, that he gave his sons priestly duties. So was that like leaders of the priests? Was that like, because they're from a different line. All right, to make sense of this, Aaron is, the Levites are the ones that are supposed to have the priestly duty.
Right.
And you weren't supposed to mix that. They were the tribe that was supposed to have the priestly duty. Right. And so David was from the line of Judah.
Right.
He shouldn't be doing priestly duties.
He had priests all around him. I mean, David was the one that organized the priests. He was the ones that organized the singers and the.
So he was doing, he was leading the priestly order.
Right.
Okay. Because the way that words, it was like,
because if you look at history, like when his, I mean, way, way down, I think it was Uzziah came in and tried to do the priestly, like tried to burn the incense. He got into so much trouble for that. He broke out in leprosy at that moment. And he was so prideful that he thought he could do the priest job. Even when David, when the ark was coming, he got the priest to consecrate everything. He's dancing, he's worshiping, but he's not.
Well, let me read that. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, I don't know how to say these names, supervised the Keratites and the Pelatites, and David's sons were priests. That's what it says. And it's like, it's so hard for me to understand. Like, you know, I'm going, wow. And so I thought there was some commentaries.
Regardless of that, actually, Melchizedek wasn't Judah or any tribe.
It was none of that. Right.
They're saying with Christ, he has a right to be a priest, even though he's in the line of Judah and a king, because this guy, Melchizedek, was truly a king and a priest, where you don't have that in the Old Testament. I mean, David's sons, whatever David's sons did, is what they did. But David's sons who were reigning on the throne were clearly not priests. And the one guy who tried to be a priest or do the role of a priest got struck down with leprosy.
So I guess that's why I was saying that all of that is because this thing is shrouded in mystery. I guess what I'm saying is this whole idea of Melchizedek, it really is shrouded. It's really encapsulated in mystery. And I think that's okay.
No king was a priest at the same time in Judah. Like there were, except for Jesus, prophets, not that Samuel or Saul didn't prophesy some, not that office. Christ is the only one that's going to have all three of those offices. But this specifically is talking about Christ as, and it says in Hebrews 7, Melchizedek was king of Salem, priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness, also king of Salem, which means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. And what he's trying to say, and then in Psalm 110:4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you're a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. You know, messianic passage, you're going to be after the priest of Melchizedek, not the line of Levi. So it is fascinating when you think about who this Melchizedek is as a type of Christ, but I want to look at that, those practical things, peace, righteousness, two things that characterize him. Two things that should characterize us. We should be righteous. We should be at peace. So when you think about the righteousness aspect of our lives, you're going to have peace when you're doing the right thing. You're going to be doing better. You want to pull out of a mess. You want to get your life together. Do the right thing.
Yeah.
Be in places where they're doing the right thing. Don't allow yourself to get influenced to be doing things you shouldn't be doing or getting off the path of where God really wants you.
No, absolutely. And my strong recommendation for anybody that doesn't know this is Jesus Christ is the starting place and the fulfillment of our righteousness. Right. Like he is the one that gives us the ability to be righteous. Now we can do right things, no doubt about it, but to be declared righteous, that's what we need, you know, to see God. That comes through Jesus. And he gives us the ability by the power of his spirit to do the right thing. And I agree 100% with what you're saying. Righteousness and peace they go together.
Right.
You know, you can't have peace and be unrighteous.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
But they also reflect Christ. Like his kingdom, when it says he's king of Salem, it's almost like that era in his kingdom was just infused with peace. You know, they're doing the right thing. You think about Jesus Christ and his words. He's like, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And he said right ahead of that, I give you my peace. My peace I leave with you. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. You're going to have problems. Being at peace doesn't mean there aren't problems, that you wouldn't even need peace given to you if everything was great. The fact is, because everything's not great, we do need peace. Now, sometimes the peace that we have are going to be the peace like, You told me, hey, someone called me, they encouraged me, that brings you peace, right? So sometimes I think that we're the ones that are actually helping in God's kingdom, you know, as
agents of peace,
all, you're all priests. In Revelation 1:6, he's made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve as God. So we're all that. So we all have opportunities to bring peace.
Amen.
and to do the right thing. And so those are two things I think are extremely significant. Now, I'm fascinated by the fact there's a guy named Melchizedek running around who's a priest. It's like, well, there's not even any Moses laws, like who appointed him a priest. I think of Moses running out into the wilderness and he finds this
priest of Midian.
Jethro. Yeah. He's the priest of Midian. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, who made that guy a priest? You know, so God obviously had his people out there just like he does in the world today. I mean, God's got his people out all over the place.
It's,
you know,
fascinating.
And this man, he's coming to bless Abraham. And I think it's fascinating the fact that he's blessing a blessed guy.
That's right. Why
do I have to bless the blessed guy? I mean, Abraham's already blessed by God. But you know what the fact of the matter is? Even the blessed, we still bless.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We still bless people. We don't look around and say, hey, you know what? You already have God's blessing. You don't need my blessing. No, as people, as individuals, he's still pronouncing blessing. And I think for us, man, we want our words to be words of blessing.
Well, I think, too, he tithed. So if you don't know, tithe means a tenth.
Right.
And so Abraham gave him a tenth of everything he had, right?
Right.
And so there's another model for us to follow. Well, everything
he had, or a tenth of the plunder, they just
came back. Okay, I'm sorry, thank you. Yeah, of the plunder. But there's a model for us to follow there,
right?
Is the one that's blessing us. Well, who's blessing us today? Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so I want to give to the work of Christ around me.
Right.
You know, so I give to the church, I give to Compassion, I give to Maya, whatever it is. Wherever, you know, wherever God's moving, wherever Christ is active, I want to tithe. Right. I want to give because he's blessing us.
Right.
He's pouring out his peace, his righteousness, his blessings on us. So you know what? My return, I want to support his work.
Right. No, I would agree. And part of the work we're doing is just when I'm talking to other people, and you talk about peace. If our focus is only on negativity, our focus is only breathing out cursings. Be careful how much you get caught up in that. Politics is one of the easy things in our lives to get
caught
up in.
Preach, Bill. Come on.
It's just easy to get caught up. And what I find is sometimes that has a detrimental effect on our families, even if we're just always all Biden this, Biden. And sometimes, or if it's Trump this, Trump that, whatever it is. Look, how much of that negativity do you want in your life? How much do you want to spew this into the air?
Yeah.
Even negativity about yourself, negativity about your health. Well, you know, I'll probably die young. Why are you talking about stuff like that?
Why would you even say that?
Why would you even say it? I don't believe in saying these dark things or hopeless things. I want to focus on what the positive things are in life. Yeah. Make my life about that, making a positive difference in people's life, being a blessing, saying words of blessing, not get caught up in all the things I can't control.
Yeah.
Now, is there negativity in the world? Oh, yeah, without you saying a word. I mean, definitely. I mean, we deal with that. We hear about it, whether it's gossip or it's just bad stories or it's some violence that we read a story about that can be very discouraging. I don't want my whole life to be about that. I don't want my thoughts to be about that. Yeah. I think about the too much information on social media anyway. Even that, I talked to a guy on Sunday and he said, hey, I took every app off my phone that I just don't want to see anything. And I don't blame him because he wants folks to be on God and what God wants him to do.
That's
so
inspiring.
Again, careful, you know, just be careful. Blessing, being a person of blessing, speaking words of blessing. That should be what we're about.
I agree, man. And there's peace there. There's peace when you have that attitude, you know, because what happens when you start buying into all the negative rhetoric, you lose peace in your heart.
Right.
I mean, I'm telling you, you get me on a binge watch of YouTube news clips and stuff, man, I start to get negative. I start to get aggravated and I start to carry around this attitude about me. And it's like, well, what happened? Oh, well, I'm just buying into the message of the news. I mean, that's all I'm doing. Look around once. There's nothing even happening around you. You know what I mean? And you're carrying around this turmoil that's not, you shouldn't even be carrying.
Right. Well, you want to be blessed, right? And I think it's interesting that the king of Sodom was the first one to approach him. And then the king of Melchizedek comes. So king of Sodom was the first one to meet Abraham.
Yeah.
And then it's Melchizedek. Melchizedek, you don't see anything of him blessing that guy. And I mean, that guy is a king of a wicked city. He's part of the wickedness. He's obviously paying the price of his wickedness. His city got plundered. He got defeated. Yeah. You look at a Melchizedek, he's got a kingdom of peace going.
Wow.
Because he's righteous and he's speaking these words of blessings, but he's speaking them to a man who's doing the right thing. And it's easy to bless when you're doing the right things and when you have the right heart and the right attitude. So I would say for us, I want to be a person of blessing. And the other thing, while we think about blessing being the opposite of curse words, don't wish ill on people. I had a conversation with my wife the other day, and she's like, oh, I'm glad to hear it, whatever, something happened. I said, now, wait a minute. I said, never say that, because here's the thing. Any ill that I wish on somebody else, I'm wishing on me. Jesus Christ said, the measure you use for someone else is going to be measured to you back. So I don't want to be ever, I mean, isn't it saying in the Bible that we're not supposed to gloat even if your enemies fall or someone like, we're not supposed to be gloating. We're
just read it not too long ago. Paul actually says, speak nothing against anyone, that no evil against anyone.
Right.
You know, and that's, we don't want to do that.
So, and even when you're not wishing it, it's not that you wished evil, but you seem to entertain happiness at the thought of it. I'm not even there. I'm like, no,
because
I don't wish. I can tell you honestly, I'm not wishing harm on someone. I'm not wishing bad to befall anyone, because to do it would only be inviting it to me.
That's right.
You want blessing to fall on your life, be a personal blessing. You speak out those blessings. Love your enemies, even pray for those who persecute you, so on and so forth. Yeah. That's the lifestyle that we should be living. I love a Melchizedek. Yeah. Man, he's the king of righteousness. He's in a kingdom of peace. He's bringing out supply. Man, he's giving and meeting the needs of Abraham. He's blessing him. And he's blessing him not saying, hey, man, I think you're great. He's blessing him by God Most High.
That's right.
You know, God, I want God to bless you, and do you with power and strength. And then after that blessing, you know, Abraham realizes he is blessed by God. That's why you give a tenth back. Why do I give a tenth? Because God gave me everything that I have in the first place. So I love these kind of ideas. And I think of Christ then being our priest after the order of Melchizedek, and what a priest did. A priest forgave, a priest interceded and prayed for you, right? A priest is teaching you the right way to go. A priest is blessing. These are the things I should be doing for other people. I want to be a forgiving person. I want to be an interceding, in other words, a praying person.
Yeah.
Hey, God, how can we pray for the needs of those around us and for other people, and to be that personal blessing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that priest is there to serve, no doubt about it. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He came to serve us by laying himself down. What fascinates me about Jesus is he was not only the priest offering up the sacrifice, he was the sacrifice. He became the sacrifice. Right. He's the one that shed his blood. And actually, this whole Hebrews 7 passage is all about like how he initiated by his own blood through his own high priestly duties. He initiated a new covenant through that blood.
Right.
And that new covenant is now ours, man. We operate in a new way. And I actually think of Melchizedek. He was operating, like, to me, it seems like he's operating in a different way than any of the other kings were.
Right.
He's operating in a new way, man. He's coming, he's blessing him instead of fighting against him.
And he also, as far as we know, was not attacked by Chedorlaomer
when
Chedorlaomer was exiting. You know, he had no beef with him.
So his way of doing things was different. It was unique. It was new.
And you're saying our way should be.
It should be too. Right. We don't have to follow the world's pattern.
Gotcha.
I would say don't follow the world's pattern. No, you know, don't conform yourself to that. Don't join into those other groups that are out going against this and that. Don't do it.
Here's what Jesus Christ said. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. So if you really, you know, you want
perfectly
success, you want opportunity, you want whatever it is, you know, the desires of your heart that you want. He said, listen, seek me first in my kingdom, my righteousness. That stuff will be added to you later. You go chasing after that stuff and you forget about his kingdom and righteousness, you're never going to find it. But I love the fact that, again, in Revelation 1:6, he has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. We're a kingdom. Believers, one thing we believe as believers is the priesthood of all believers. Like, I don't need to go to you to come to God.
No.
I don't need, like, these people who think, you know, well, Bill, your prayers are getting closer to God because you're a preacher. No. All of us have the same opportunity before God. All of us stand before God. We have the same opportunity to study his word, to learn, to pray, to seek him out. And I think that's such an important thing, that we have access, and I'm not reliant on anyone else. Like, what my relationship with God is, is not dependent on others. I believe I'm encouraged by others for sure. But me having a relationship with God is just because of all the work of Christ. And he is assigned to me, hey, and others, the priest of all believers. So we all have equal standing before God. There's no one who's, let's say, more important than somebody else.
No, I agree 100%. Peter made it very clear. You yourselves are living stones. You are built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood and to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter 2:5.
Right.
So, I mean, we all have that equal playing field now. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because we had somebody greater than us go before us into that veil to give us access to the Father. Right. It's our high priest, Jesus Christ.
Right.
So now we have open access. It says, come boldly to the throne of God in your times of need. How can we do that? We couldn't do that on our own. Right. We'd be dead.
Right.
It's through Jesus.
Right. And Jesus Christ is greater than we are. And that's one thing that we got to keep in mind. Anyway, we appreciate you tuning in out of the show. Hopefully it's something we said that'll inspire your thinking, will challenge you. I appreciate you tuning in. Feel free to share it with others as well. You all have a blessed week.